Let's go over and turn to John 15. We started a new series a few weeks ago called Not of This World. Let's recap in John. John chapter 15, verse 18. Thank God. Everybody there? John 15, verse 18. Okay, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Notice in verse 19 it says, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world. We are not of the world. Go ahead and turn over to John 17. Verse 9, it says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and then he prays for the people that would hear his word through his disciples, for all believers, but here this applies to us. We're believers. It says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, that they, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. So here we see verse 11 says, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. We are in the world. But it said, what we read earlier is that we're not of the world. Skip down to verse 14. Let's read that portion again. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. But he just said, we're in the world, but we're not of it. Verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Notice that. But that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Glory to God. There is so much here. This is exactly why we pray. Lord, help us to get out the right things right now. You guys are believing with me right now. Amen. There's so many things right here. I have certain things in my heart, and as I'm preaching, there's just stuff, as I'm speaking these words, there's just things that are popping up on the inside, and it's like, God, help me to cover the right things, because it's like I can't do all that at once, and I know where I want to go, but I don't want to dump. You can't just dump everything out too early, because you got to be prepared for certain things. I'm experiencing that a lot right now. So just believe with me that we're going to get the right things out. Glory to God. But he said, I'm not, you guys, these, the disciples, and us, we're not of the world, but we're in it. Jesus said, I'm no longer in the world. He was leaving. No longer in the world. He's out of here. But he said, these are. And we are. Everybody knows that, right? You're here. You're in the world. It doesn't do any good to say, oh, I wish I were in heaven. Well, you're going to get there soon enough. Don't worry about it. But I'm experiencing this or this. I just wish I could be with Jesus. Well, if you know the Word, you know that His Spirit lives inside of you. You're with Him, but you're also here. And it doesn't do any good to just start thinking about how great it's going to be when you get to heaven and when you're not dealing with the stuff that's in this earth. We're in this earth. This is real. This is where we are. We're here. We're in it, but we're not of it. And as Christians, we're supposed to know that this isn't all there is. We're supposed to know that, yes, we're dealing with natural stuff. We deal with people. Some people say, I just don't like people. I don't want to deal with people. I just love God. That's not true. If you love God, you love people. But I just don't like people. Well, God does. God loves them. And if you loved Him, then you'd love people. Well, I'm just too spiritual for people. No, that's not true. You're showing exactly the opposite. You're showing how carnal you are. I don't want to be around people. I just can't. I love Jesus. Just don't like people. Just get irritated around people. Well, that says more about you than it does the people. Huh? I just, you know, you get on my nerves. Well, maybe you're too touchy. The Bible says that if you walk in love, love suffers long. Love always believes the best. God is love. And if you say, well, I love God, and that love, I love Him, I just don't like the people. Well, there's a problem, because if you say, I love God, well, then you'd like what He liked. I'm not saying we don't tend to get on each other's nerves. We do. But the mark of a spiritual person is walking in love. And if we say, well, you know, I just am too spiritual to be around people. Well, we're here in this world. We're not of it, but we're here. And part of being here is working with people, is working with each other, is working with each other's imperfections and getting the job done anyway. You know, God's only going to use imperfect people, because those are the only kind He has to work with. Right. All of us are imperfect. We all have stuff that, you know, rough edges. Yet God, amazingly, still uses us. If you think you got to get everything taken care of before He can use you, well, you're going to be dead, and you're still not going to have everything taken care of, and He didn't use you one bit because you were waiting to get perfect. That's not going to happen. Just let me tell you, in case that's news to somebody in the room, you're never going to be perfect while you're walking here on this earth. You're not going to walk this world, this life out perfectly. That's not a bad confession. It's just the truth. Now, that doesn't mean you plan for it. It doesn't mean you plan to mess up. You don't have to plan for it. It's going to happen. You can do your best. And I'm not saying you have to live in sin. You shouldn't. The Bible says don't make room for the flesh. Don't plan for the flesh. Well, I'm just imperfect. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that. Well, I'm going to sin anyway. Oh, man, I could go in a million different directions right here. I'll just say this. You know, the schools are misguided in some ways where they're saying, well, people are going to do this anyway. We might as well make them prepared. No, you're just ramping it up so that kids are going to do really stupid stuff. And you told them, you helped them to do it. Well, they might as well be prepared. They might as well know. That type of thinking is just wrong-headed. Let me show you all this stuff, but you don't want to do this. And, if you do, here's what you do about it. And here's the right way so you don't mess yourself up worse than you're already going to be messed up. Kids don't get all that. Half the stuff we said just flew right by them. And all they saw is, what? That's out there? I could do that? So we ought not be like that as Christians, as grown-ups. Don't make room for the flesh. Don't say, well, I'm just going to sin anyway. I'll just, don't want to do it right. If I'm going to sin, might as well be prepared for it. Nope, that's not the right way to look at it. Nope. Don't make any room for it. What we ought to do is do our best to follow God, live according to His Word. But if you do miss it, know that, that's no surprise. Nobody fell out of their chair. They already knew you were imperfect. What I saw when I was on vacation, there was a cab in front of me and he had a bumper sticker, or just words on his bumper. It said, laugh at your problems, everybody else does. Everybody else already sees, our imperfections. And we're like, ooh, I messed up. Yeah, you did it the last 3 days. This is the first one you noticed? No, but we're here, and we have some stuff to deal with. Glory to God. But He's helped us to overcome that stuff. He's helped us to do what we ought to be doing in this world, in spite of the fact that we have junk to deal with. God is not going to take you out of the world. So stop acting. If anybody in this room, or anybody hearing my voice, if there's this thought, that I just can't stand. I'm surrounded by non-Christians. I don't like being, I love God, and I just don't like this. All this rubs me the wrong way. We need to change that mentality. Number one, we're supposed to be with non-Christians. Because if we're not, who is? If all the Christians leave, the non-Christians, then the little light that was there went away. Now, there's nothing to show them what God is like. We're not supposed to go out of this world yet. We will. I'm pretty sure the rapture is not today. If it is, great. I seriously doubt it. If it is, we'll have a party. I'll see you in heaven. Hallelujah. But I don't think it is. It may be I do know this. We're closer than we ever have been.
Yes.
I do know that. But I don't know when it is. And if it's longer, everybody always says, well, Pastor Sam down there, who's the pastor of the worship center where we are, he said this. They're in the middle of a transition. But when he started worship center like 38 years and 39 years ago, getting close to 40 years. So that was, it's in the 70s, right? So in the 70s. And he heard in his spirit 40 years. Pastor, 40 years. And he was just saying this because in the middle of transition, but he was just sharing how he said 40 years. Well, Jesus is going to come back before that anyway. I don't really have to worry about it. That's the mentality of most people. But he said, it was getting to be about 35 years. And he looked at Shirley and said, if it really is going to be 40 years, we ought to get a plan in place. we ought to not just all of a sudden transition. We ought to transition. And so that's what they've been doing. And the new pastor, who's been the worship leader there before and has attended the church since he was four, is going to be the new pastor. And they've been transitioning. It was a five-year plan, and they moved it up a little bit. Next year, he'll be the new pastor. But my point is, you know, when he's young, in his 20s, going 40 years, Jesus will come before that. And right now, if I'm saying, if you say for some of us, well, Jesus may not come back in our lifetime. Some people are like, well, whatever, but he will. He will, but okay. But if we were to say, you know, if Jesus doesn't come back, we're going to get to heaven. We're going to see heaven. Or we're going to leave when he does come back. But the fact is, yeah, there's a lot of things look like the signs are there. Looks like we're getting close. I believe we are. I don't believe what certain things that are happening are sustainable. Certain things that are rearing their head in the world, going to be a showdown. Sometime is going to be a showdown. But the timing, I'm not sure. But we're here now. It's good to know some things about what's going to happen, but the fact is we're here. And as much as we'd want to just say, I don't want to be here, I don't want to deal with stuff, that is not going to help us to do what we need to do in the earth. We need to know just what Jesus said here. It said, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Let's just stop there. He said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. I don't pray that they should get out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Let's read a few scriptures on your sheet. We've read before. I wanted to cover some of these. We've kind of focused on some of these things we just read, but I want to read this for some extra support. Philippians 3:17 says, Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. 1 Peter 1:17 says, If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look at that in the New Living Translation, 1 Peter 1:17-20. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. So I like it what it says. It says, during your time here as temporary residents, let us live in reverent fear during your time here as temporary residents. After we've been bought and purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not of this world. We're here, but we're temporary residents. Temporary. Everybody say temporary.
Temporary.
What does that mean? Well, it means a short time, little bit, right? It means it can change. It means not permanent. We're temporary, but we're here. And it says that we were not redeemed, back in the New King James, with corruptible things like silver or gold. In other words, God didn't pay gold for us. Those are corruptible. You realize gold is just natural metal. It's the only reason it's valuable is because it's rare on the earth. Not so much in heaven, evidently. It says their streets are paved with it. Now, how that works, I mean, is it, you know, is it the gold like we have? I mean, it's, but we're in a different world there. I don't know. It says it's gold. That's all I know. The Bible says it's gold. It's gold. Evidently, it's as common, so it's pavement. Here, it's precious. Why? Because it's rare. There are things more rare than gold, even naturally, but there are things that are much more valuable than gold. Just even on this earth, we're not going to get into that. But here, it's saying that God didn't pay silver or gold. He didn't redeem us from our old conduct that we just received what our parents did. They maybe just did what their parents did, and it's influenced by the world. It said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, Jesus, by him laying down his life and shedding his blood, that was the payment that redeemed us, that set us apart, that allows us to walk in this world. Even though we're here, we're in this world, we're temporary residents, and we've been redeemed. No, notice what Jesus said. Back in, if you look back on your sheet in John 17, verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. There is an evil one here. He is the God of this world. But we're here too. We're here, but we've been redeemed. And just because we're here, we're not his. We're not the evil ones. We've been redeemed. We by what Jesus did, we're not owned by him any longer. He is the God of this world. He is the ruler of this world. And the world follows their daddy. Now, I know that's not politically correct. But we read previous time. The Bible says that Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. And he said that to some of the most religious people. But look at these. Look at a few scriptures here on your sheet to this effect. Galatians 1, 3 through 5, it says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present age. Notice that. The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. How'd he give himself? He shed his blood. That's what we just read. He redeemed us. God didn't redeem us with gold or silver. He redeemed us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to redeem something? It means to pay for it, to take it back. It's a ransom. We were under the sway of the devil. And God gave the blood of Jesus to buy us back. The payment was for the whole world. But only those who take it, who receive it, go free. In other words, all the tickets for all the world have been purchased. The blood of Jesus was more than enough for the whole world to be redeemed. But only those that will take it will be actually redeemed, will walk in that. But it says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that we might deliver, or that he might deliver us from this present age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It says, Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Notice that. The whole world, talking about the world that's not saved, but this whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Satan is the father of the world. This idea that we're all the brotherhood of man and we all have God as our father is just not scripture. It's not true. It sounds good. People like to hear that. They take it, and a lot of people take, well, it's just everybody's trying to get to God and they all have their own way and God understands. That's not what we're talking about. Satan owns the world. He doesn't own it for the sake of, it's under lease. God put Adam in charge of the world. I don't have time to go back to those scriptures again. We've read them in Genesis, if you're familiar. God said, have dominion over the world. And Satan bowed his knee to Satan. Adam bowed his knee to Satan. Did what Satan, the Bible says, to the person that you obey, you become his slave. And Adam did what Satan told him to do. And Satan became his Lord. And for a time, Satan is the God of this world. He doesn't own it, but God's not going to go back on his word. If you lease something to somebody, you can't come back in for just any reason and say, wait, never mind, I don't want to lease it to you. Get out. God leased it to Adam. And apparently, Adam bowed his knee to Satan, and apparently that was a legal part of the contract because God didn't come in and say, wait, time out, do over. That's not what I had in mind. Satan, go back to your corner. Adam, now don't do this again. So yeah, the world's in a mess. That's because the father of this world has come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not God that has this world in a mess. If people would listen to God, it'd be a whole different place. In fact, God has the answer to every problem that's facing mankind right now. Every single one. But man's too busy, by and large, for the Lord. And then they say things like, well, we're just all in this together. We know God's out there. And if he'll just... they're not calling out to God. But the people that are sort of religious are saying, well, you know, God's out there and we're all just trying to make our way to him and everybody finds their own way. No, the way is Jesus. It's no mystery about the way. Jesus is the only one that could redeem us. That could make the payment. It's the whole thing about we're all brothers and sisters in mankind, and we just try to work our way to God, and God understands, and he accepts, he knows what we, he knows, he knows how we got there, and he understands. It's not about God. Satan owns us in the sense that we sinned. All of us sinned, and so then Satan has a legal right to us. 1 John 1:5-19 that we just read says, we know that we are of God. See, we are of God, Christians. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We're in this world, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. John 14:29, so a little bit before the verses we started reading up at the beginning, John 14:29 says, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. That the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. What is he saying? The ruler of the world is coming. Who is that? It's Satan. And he has nothing in me. He's the ruler of this world. Anybody say, well, it's God's the ruler of this world? He's not. We just read Jesus himself said, Satan is the ruler of this world. Keep reading. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Just as others. We were by nature children of wrath. That's not the same as sons and daughters of God. We're children of wrath. Said without Jesus, people are children of wrath. That's what the Bible says. It does not say you're children of God. You're children of wrath. So we're surrounded by children of wrath. We're surrounded by people that are under the ruler of this world. Who walk, verse 2, according to the course of this world. Notice that. They walk according to the course of this world. Well, this world is under the sway of the wicked one. Just read it. The whole world. Look at the previous scripture. The two verses before. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And so, in verse 2, then Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Well, what's the course of this world? It's the course, it just says in the next part, according to the prince of the power of the air. What's the course of this world? It's the course of the wicked one. It lies under the sway of the wicked one. People aren't following their daddy. I know that when that comes out of my mouth, people are like, whoa, that's not politically correct whatsoever. But it's truth. Now, I don't suggest you go up to your people, fellow friends and coworkers that aren't saved and go, you're a child of the devil. I'm not saying that. I'm not telling you to go say it, but I'm saying it's true. This goes back to what we were talking about last time. Why are we still here? Because there are people that are owned by Satan and God wants them out. They're going to come into the family of God. God knows them as his children because he sees those things and calls those things that are not as though they were. There are people that are going to come in, but right now they are under the sway of the wicked one. That's where we come in. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're here for a task. We're here to do a job. And part of that is to the primary thing that we're to do as it pertains to other people is to be a light so that they can see what's going on, the truth. Read the next verse, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Notice that. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Who are those? The ones who are under the sway of the wicked one, the ones who are going about the course of this world. They're perishing. You say, well, it doesn't matter what we believe as long as we just love each other and we reach out to God. No, they're perishing. The world is perishing. If they don't know Jesus, they're already dead spiritually and they are going to hell. There is a hell. There is a wicked one, and he knows that he owns When I say own, he's the ruler of this world. And he does own the people. He may be leasing the world, stepping in on Adam's lease, but don't you think he does not own the people? He owns people. He dictates their life. He can move them where you can see this all the time. You see people that are rich and famous, quote unquote, going up. Thinking of somebody right now, died when I think he was like 29, leader of a famous rock band. Satan does not care about people. Uses them, leads other people astray, and they die. They overdose on drugs. He uses one until they're not useful, tosses them away and brings up another one. Jerks them around. He's got hooks in their flesh left and right, can pull them here, can pull them there. They are completely subservient to him. He's not a good ruler. That's the way of this world. But we have been redeemed from that lordship through Jesus. We are still in his territory. We are still occupying this area, but he has nothing in us unless we yield to him. People talk about sin. I think we'll get into some of this stuff later. We're just being led, not today. But people look at sin like, well, I don't, you know, like it's a burden to try to abstain from certain things that the Bible would call sin, as if you're trying to take the fun out. It has nothing to do with that. We do any point that we yield to the enemy, he's got a hook in our flesh. God wants the best for us. He is an evil, evil ruler. Why would I want to submit some part of my life to him so he can use that then to drag me where he wants me? That's what he's trying to do. And he can't do it unless we allow him to. We're free. Jesus has made us free. Look at Colossians 1:9. Just turn over there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's see, did I finish? You go ahead and turn over to Colossians 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 9. But I wanted to, I don't think I finished talking about 2 Corinthians 4, we said, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. See, you say, why would people serve Satan? They don't know that. In fact, like I said, you go tell them, they're going to go, what? Shut up, you weirdo. You don't want to say that. And anything you hint to that degree, that way, Satan has them. Why is there a pushback on Christianity and the gospel? Because that's the way out. So there is a big pushback. Why are there other religions that are welcomed, in fact, protected? Like, oh, they're that. Oh, well, we don't want to mess with it. But Christianity, clamp. Why? That's not just disillusionment on the part of Christians going, well, just like a complex that they're being attacked. It's not that. It's spiritual. That's because the other thing leads to bondage. In fact, people don't know it, but they're worshiping demons. And it's demonic. And the other is the path out to freedom. The ruler of this age does not want people to know that. So he's trying to clamp down, trying to make it look foolish, trying to make it look weak. Oh, you need the crutch of Christianity. Oh, you mean the power of God that will deliver you from the ruler of this world? No, you're not going to hear that. You're weak. You need to cling to religion. It's not about that. It is a legal situation. Satan owns humanity. And the blood of Jesus came to redeem humanity, and those who believe on it are out. It's the ticket out. Well, the ruler does not want people to know this. So whose minds the God of this age has blinded? They're blind. It is a mist. It is spiritual. People can't see. And there's been so much taught against it that people, when anything that comes, like what I'm saying, now the Word of God is the only thing that's going to snap them out of it. Right now, as we're preaching that the truth is going out, and that there's an anointing here to open our eyes to what's going on. That's the only thing, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that's going to, people are like, wait, you mean that's true? That's how people get born again, when the Word is preached and the Word goes in their heart. They can see, because that pushes away the darkness. And that's how, when people, they have to make a decision to call on Jesus. But if they'll call on Jesus, they're set free. So the Word going forth is what allows us to be set free. It says, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The Bible calls the Word light. People are in darkness. They're groping. They're blinded. They don't understand why this is happening, that, and why is this hard, and where's God? And the Word of God comes in and shines and shows up what is really going on. But the enemy hates this. He hates the light of the Word being shown up, because it shows up. He would much rather people believe that he doesn't exist. In fact, that's one of his primary doctrines. There is no heaven. There is no hell. There is no God. But there is. He doesn't want people to know they're enslaved by him. So that's his favorite thing. What? God? There's no God. There's no devil. You're fine. Just go on. Those people, those nuts over there, believe in Christianity, especially the ones that talk in tongues and believe in the power of God, they are weird. You stay away from them. That's of the devil. And he knows he has them, and this is why he pushes on it. Oh, that? Don't believe that. That's stupid. This is the stuff he pushes, because he has them in his hand. And they don't know it. They're like, oh, that's stupid. That's stupid. And all the while, they're in prison. They're in prison. And he moves them over here and hear that. And they'll say, oh, what about that? That looks interesting. No, that's stupid. Don't worry about that. Stay here. Those people are idiots. They're weird. They're weak-minded. They have no education. Those are fools. Well, yeah, but... Well, it just seems... No, it doesn't seem anything. There is no God. This is the tactic. It is happening all over. Glory to God. Let's just read this in closing. Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Humanity is in the power of darkness. What can get humanity, an individual, out? It's the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His love, into the kingdom of God, into that kingdom where we are now not of this world anymore. We're in it, but we've been transferred out. We are in this world, but we ourselves are part of the kingdom of Almighty God. We're here. We have to deal with this world. We have to deal with the darkness, but that darkness cannot overtake us because it says here that we have redemption through His blood. Hallelujah. We don't have to walk around like the people that are part of this world. We're here, but the world of this world has nothing in us anymore. And if we'll stand up and say, I've been redeemed, I've been transferred out, you have no power in me, then that's when that becomes reality in our lives, because we're saying you're illegal. You have no right to tread on my life. Your power has been broken. Satan, leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by His blood. We're here, we're dealing with the stuff, but we're not of this world anymore. Glory to God.